You may remember that on area television stations up and down the Eastern Seaboard. That's the opening to the National Wrestling Alliance. Before the Panthers and before the Hornets and before all of that happened in this area of the Carolinas, there were the three R's. There was racing, because of the NASCAR folks. There was ACC basketball. We called it round ball. And there was wrestling. And we've got Roy Karpf on with the outdoor guys here on the Carolina Outdoors. Whether you're listening to us up and down the Eastern Coast these days via News 1110 99.3 WBT, or maybe you're joining us via podcast as a subscriber to the digital services, or head over to jessebrowns.com and listen to all four segments for your listening pleasure. Roy, welcome back here to the Carolina Outdoors.
Thanks.
Roy, I got a quick question. For you, how big, or how did Ric Flair become so big organically or from a grassroots kind of a scene instead of the great big WrestleManias and that sort of thing that the WWF put on as they consolidated wrestling markets?
Well, he traveled a lot. You know, he wrestled these hour matches in territories back in the 1980s, and he kind of, you know, like Jerry Lawler in Memphis, Rick, especially in the Southeast, was very, very well known. He was famous. And he was just a guy who had it. You remembered him if you saw him. And, you know, the NWA was syndicated. I got it in Philadelphia. And when you were changing the channels or flipping the channels, you would stop if you saw Ric Flair. He just got your attention. And it was more grassroots because, unlike the WWF and Hulk Hogan, he didn't have this marketing machine behind him. And it was kind of a slow build with him. And what's really interesting, I think, about Rick is he's arguably more relevant today. The Houston Astros, when they had their parade, the guy came out and was quoting Flair with the belt. They're not quoting John Cena or Roman Reigns or current wrestlers. He's the one they're quoting. I think he's found a whole new life on YouTube and the WWE Network.
Well, and speaking of that, Ken Burns with Vietnam, that great movie maker and documentary that just came out, I read about all of the edits that were left on the cutting room floor as he put that. I don't know how many hours the Vietnam documentary was, but speaking of YouTube, Roy Karpf, how much was left on your cutting room floor of the Nature Boy interviews? Because as good as he was in the squared circle, he was even better with a microphone.
He was great. I mean, there were so many promos of his to go through, and I would just get lost in watching them. I wouldn't get editing done. He was so entertaining. there's so much to choose from. So tons of promos, and we did, I believe, 46 interviews for the film, and around half made it in. So there's a lot of interviews that didn't make it, and I think ESPN's going to put out a DVD and we'll release some of those interviews. I mean, there's nothing groundbreaking. I mean, people, you know, there's no crazy deleted scenes or anything, but there's some interesting stories and different people we interviewed that just didn't make it. I mean, we interviewed Jim Harbaugh. He's not in the film. And Mick Foley, Eric Bischoff, people like that. So they have some interesting stories to tell, and hopefully people get to see them.
Right, and one of the things that that I think separates your work is the fact that you really get to know the folks that you feature in these films, and that is dramatically different than most documentarians who want to maintain a wall or a space or separation between the subjects they're covering. But you take a different tack on this. Tell me what that was like to, for all intents and purposes, befriend Ric Flair as you were producing this piece.
Well, I just try to be very genuine. You know, I am who I am, and I put my heart and my passion into my projects. And it's just who I am, and so I like having good relationships with people, and I don't think it's bad to become friends with your subject, because when you're friends with someone, hopefully you build a trust between you. And when you have a trust and a real honesty, people are more open and will let you in and to have do things that they normally wouldn't. And, you know, and also friends can tell each other hard truths sometimes. I mean, I think in this film, some of the, you know, less complimentary things said about Rick are from the people closest to him. Mm-hmm. His children, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, they're not like his enemies. So that's my technique. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I've been able to form really good relationships with Snoop Dogg and Dana White and whatnot. And, you know, I'm not a journalist. I'm a storyteller. And I tell them I'm not going to whitewash things. And I explain why we should do what we should do. I mean, you know, telling Christian Laettner we need to call the film I Hate Christian Laettner. I mean, that was an interesting conversation. But trust me. You know, and his mom called up and really yelled at me and read me out about the title of the film. And Christian wanted to change it. He said his family was ashamed. And I'm like, dude, trust me, it's going to be good. And he did. So, and it worked out, thankfully. So I think, you know, becoming friends with Rick was good. And, I do consider him a friend. He's not my best friend, but he's definitely a friend. And he said, you know, when he went in the hospital, I was more concerned for him as a friend than a filmmaker. And I did go and visit him when he was in his physical rehab. And, you know, I think it's good to form a relationship with people. And you can have friends who are fallible, that have faults. And you know, he clearly does and admits them. So, you know, it's okay to meet your heroes sometimes. I guess I can always kind of differentiate. I can appreciate someone's talent and realize that doesn't necessarily make them a good human being. And at the same time, you know, sometimes real heroes or school teachers are people that aren't in the spotlight. And I just try to kind of differentiate. Just because someone has a great talent doesn't necessarily make them a great person. And I can still appreciate their talent and enjoy it and admire them for that. That doesn't mean that has to carry over into personal life, if that makes any sense.
It does. And now I'll put you a little bit on the spot on this one here. Do you think that Ric Flair, a guy who went from, you know, always in the spotlight and still enjoys it, do you think he is the same person he was then? And do you think he has become a better person over time?
Well, I think his recent hospital stay, where he almost died, has affected him. I do. I think he was definitely more reflective then, but he was still drinking very heavily. And he almost died. And they told him, if you drink again, it's going to kill you, for sure. If you start drinking again, you're going to die quickly. Because his body completely shut down. So, you know, right now, for the first time ever, you know, he's been out of the hospital about a month and a half, maybe 2 months. You know, he's living, you know, without alcohol. And that's a mask, in a way, you know, to use. Maybe it's a way to deal with your feelings. So, you know, it's going to be a process for him, even at 68 years old, I think.
Yeah, and he just recently made an appearance on the WWE, one of their television shows recently, with his daughter, Ashley. So he's coming back to health. I want to ask this question because I had it on my list, and I talked about the Charlotte area and the Carolinas and the three R's, racing, round ball, and wrestling. And you've done a bunch of work, but three people that you did work on, I want to point out and ask the similarities. Dale Earnhardt, Dale back in 2007, I Hate Christian Laettner, we just mentioned, in 2015, and Nature Boy, just released November 7th to rave reviews and high viewership. What's the similarities between those three people, those three athletes, and then what's the differences?
What's the difference between – who are the athletes again?
Dale Earnhardt, Flair. Christian Laettner, and Ric Flair.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think – well, the similarities are they could all be pretty selfish, and I think you have to be when you have a career sometimes. I mean, Dale Earnhardt has pretty documented – you know, issues being, you know, that he had failed marriages and wasn't close with his children for a really long time. Racing came first. For Ric Flair, wrestling came first. That, and, you know, arguably Dale Earnhardt, greatest race car driver of all time, Ric Flair, the greatest wrestler, but probably not the greatest fathers. So they both sacrifice something. And I think if you want to be great at something, you're going to have to sacrifice something else, whatever you want to do. It doesn't mean you have to sacrifice being a good dad, but maybe that's all you do is you work and you try to be a parent, but maybe your marriage is going to suffer or you don't have much of a, you know, life outside of those things. You don't have that many hobbies. I mean, but you're going to have to sacrifice something. And those two guys, they sacrificed a lot. You know, Leitner, most of his success came when he was in college. That's when he was at his greatest. But he was also, you know, he's arguably one of the greatest college basketball players of all time. And very, you know, self-centered guy, very hard, very, very laser-focused, determined. So you see qualities in people. It's interesting. A lot of times I'll meet people, and you wouldn't think they have much in common, but they do. You know, I've worked a lot with Snoop Dogg, and I've worked a lot with Rob Lowe. And they have similar, very, very similar work ethics. Like, you know, Snoop Dogg is maybe the single hardest working person I've ever been around. I've never seen someone work as much as this guy. All he does is work and smoke weed. He smokes incredible amounts of weed. Like, it's like mind-boggling. Like, they should be studying this guy. Like, there needs to be some sort of medical team following him around at all times, because I don't know how someone smokes like he smokes and works. Like, it just is confounding. It's like somebody that drinks all the time and it makes them a better driver. It's just very unique. But, you know, he's very successful. Rob Lowe, very successful. They're always grinding. They've always got their eye on the prize, always working. And they also are very passionate, enjoy their work, being around them. Also, they treat people very nicely around them, I've seen. So I really enjoy getting to be around really successful people in their crafts and seeing what makes them so good at what they do.
Well, man, we enjoyed Nature Boy, Rory Karp. Thank you for joining the Outdoor Guys here on the Carolina Outdoors, and continued success as you're breaking records with the Nature Boy and 30 for 30, available for download at ESPN.com.